Welcome to Let's Talk Wellness. It's time to have new conversations about mental health. Join Mara James as she guides us along this journey. And now, let's talk wellness.
Welcome to Let's Talk Wellness. I am your host, Mara James, and I want to say thank you for joining us today. These conversations are all about taking a deeper dive into understanding how we can support children and their families to have better mental health and wellness. Let's Talk Wellness is brought to you by the Extraordinary Lives Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to improve children's mental health and emotional wellness. You can find out more information about ELF and more episodes at elfempowers.org/podcasts, and you can find this link in the show information below. Now, let's talk wellness with today's guest, Amy Mosco. Amy is the co-founder of Intentional Healing Systems, where she teaches about self-healing techniques, and she's also a trained Reiki master. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today, Mara.
Oh, thank you. It's our pleasure to speak with you. So, of course, the first question is, what is Intentional Healing Systems? Can you tell us all about that?
Sure. So Intentional Healing Systems is a company that I co-founded with a wonderful man in the Midwest. He actually came to me as a client, but we ended up starting a business together because what I do is I teach people self-healing techniques. And a lot of those self-healing techniques are based on language and the language that we use, the language that we use to talk to ourselves, the language that we use to talk to others. And I paired these techniques with energy work, with Reiki, which I'm sure, you know, these days Reiki is becoming very mainstream. People understand what it is. Basically, that's the idea behind Intentional Healing Systems. And these are the techniques we teach. We teach language and we teach pairing that with energy work to get the greatest result.
Tell us more what you mean by language.
Okay, so language carries a vibration. Whenever you think something or whenever you say something, you generate energy from those words and those thoughts. So the more mindful we are about generating our language, about generating what I call high vibrating language, typically the better result we get when we use that language, whether it's to create something for ourselves or just to create, you know, harmony in relationships. That's what I mean by language.
So how does that work with language, like with young children that might not have a vocabulary yet, or some that like to scream extra a lot and loud?
Yes. Well, you know, children learn from us. They learn by example. So if we teach ourselves to use language that's, like I said, high vibrating, or really, I think probably a better way to describe it would be love-based. If we use language that's based in love, they will absorb that and they'll learn to do that themselves. But I think that the most important point with this, with the idea of using language intentionally, is that it's intentional. So I believe that we can teach children to use language intentionally from the get-go. We can teach them to look in the mirror and say, I love you. I love myself. We can teach them that. So I think that's how we impart that to children. That's how, even if they don't have an expanded vocabulary, that's how we share with them. We teach them simple concepts like look in the mirror and say, I love you. Okay. Until you actually mean it.
Because until you believe it.
Right. Until you believe it, because that's when it becomes most effective.
And okay. So let's start then with the parent, right? And I love how you say that kids learn from us. So I know growing up, I've never learned any of this, right? And mindfulness and how to love ourselves and da, 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 da. So what would you say to the parents so we could look inwards at us and, you know, be mindful of how we're acting outwards and towards our kids?
Okay. So what I would say to parents is when you're, you know, having the intention to teach your children how to use love-based language, you create a plan for yourself. I mean, actually create a list of intentions that you come to memorize, even if it's just 4 or 5 intentions that you memorize. You know, I choose to teach my child to speak with love-based language. I choose to use language that demonstrates love or conveys the energy of love. I would suggest actually creating that list, because when you write it down in a piece of paper and you really think about it, you really think about the energy that you're generating, and then you memorize that and it becomes part of who you are, then you start using that language very naturally.
So kind of fake it till we make it.
Yeah, kind of fake it till we make it. Like, but have a really solid goal in mind. Like that's where you want to be.
Okay, so now so talk a little more about like love and high vibration and how those are hand in hand. I don't know if people, you know, I know it's newer verbiage that we're just discussing with this high vibration energy and love, but let's assume for a second that someone's not familiar with that. Can you share with us a little more?
Okay, sure. So the energy of love, imagine that that vibrates really high, and the energy of fear vibrates really low. Right. We don't, we want to remove fear-based language from our vocabulary, but you know, we're human beings and that's what we know right now. That's what we were learned as children. Anyway, so the vibration of love is very high, and it's almost palpable. You can feel it. Like if someone tells you that they love you and it comes from their heart, you know, and you can feel it envelop you. You can feel those vibrations. If someone tells you that they're angry with you or you feel their anger, you also feel that. But it feels very different than when someone tells you that they love you.
So it's kind of like yummy versus yucky.
Exactly.
In 5-year-old language.
I love that. So, but you know, you can play with that a little bit. A person can play with that. You know, you can tell, even if you don't know how to identify high vibrations versus low vibrations, see how you feel in your body. And you know, the things that make you feel yummy are high vibrations, and the things that make you feel yucky are typically low vibrations. So, you know, you can study this. I mean, of course you can go deeper into it and study it, but just as like a basic guideline, the things that make you feel good are high vibrating, and the things that make you feel not so good in your body, in your mind, in your heart, those are low vibrating fear-based frequencies.
Wow. Did you ever hear the study? And I don't know all of it, so I don't want to butcher it, but I bet you did, where they took water and they froze it. But before they, to, do you want to share about it? So
yeah.
I'm sure you could do. Yeah. And I
love
that.
I love that you brought this up, actually. That's, I believe you're talking about Dr. Emoto's work.
Probably.
The messages in water. So the idea was that, you know, you focused your attention on the water and then spoke love-based frequencies, love-based language into the water. I love you. I'm grateful. These types of things. You spoke it into the water. And then now, again, I'm not an expert on this, but I know what you're talking about. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but they froze the water and they looked at the crystals. They looked at the crystals in the frozen water that people had spoken love-based language to. And then they looked at the crystals in the water, the frozen water produced these crystals by people speaking like not love, the fear-based frequencies into, and the crystals that that displayed the love-based language were these beautiful symmetrical crystals. I mean, they were just like exquisite. The crystals that, you know, reflected the fear-based language or the low vibrations were, they looked chaotic. They looked like they were broken. They weren't symmetrical. I mean, it was a very, that's a really interesting study. Yeah.
Yes, I knew you'd be able to share about it more than I can. I love that. So let's talk about me. Like, you know, of course, I grew up in New York with a neurotic New York Jewish mother. I became one. I love my kids. I did everything for them, the good and the bad, right? I didn't realize how much fear I had. So when someone's like, you know, when a parent's living more like a little anxiety and stress and fear versus, you know, and like we're stressing in the morning, like hurry up, get dressed, get ready for school and all that stuff. So definitely, you know, when now we're equating love to higher vibration, that's definitely a lower vibration, but we're so caught up in fear. What do we do?
Yeah. You know, this is one of our specialties at Intentional Healing Systems, is helping people get out of fear. And it's really a training process, because we didn't know any better and we didn't learn these things in school when we were children. We have to kind of start from ground zero and teach ourselves. But the best way to get yourself out of a fear-based, or if, you know, adhering to those fear-based frequencies, is to really train yourself with intentions. Okay. Like I was talking about before, you create a list of intentions that you ultimately memorize, right? But when you keep going back to those intentions, it actually has the effect of empowering you because you realize you have control over your emotions. Okay. And yeah, I know. And this is a big thing because we, once again, have always been taught that we're victims, right? But we have control. We have ultimate control over our emotions. We just have to know how to talk ourselves down from the fence when we get stuck in that fear-based or anxiety-riddled state. So creating your own list of personal intentions and follow-up affirmations to tell you that you are okay. You know, you are in control. You're okay. You're this beautiful being and you love yourself. It's very empowering, but it does take a little bit of training and it does take some thought on the front end when you create these intentions.
Right. So let's talk about the parent that, you know, there are a couple of things. They might've had childhood trauma, right? So there's a couple of situations. One, there's a parent that I'm working with, you know, who's bipolar and they feel like the anger that's going, working through them. It's not even them. It's like working through them. Right. So really, like how can, you know, I know you say we have control over emotions, but often it doesn't feel that way. And then the other one is for a parent, like to really feel safe. I know for me to feel safe, I've been working on my self-healing for 9 years. And I think I finally like tricked myself into feeling safe. Do you know what I'm saying? So can you talk to both of those? Because those, I'm trying to like practice what I preach or believe like we have control over emotions. Sometimes I don't feel that way.
Right. Well, and again, it's a training process and it can be a long training process, but I think having an understanding sometimes of where these emotions are born is very helpful. And it takes a little practice, but you can trace those feelings back. Okay. And you don't have to do this in the moment because sometimes we do feel out of control in the moment. And for, you know, in some cases it's appropriate, you know, we need to be able to express our emotions. We can't stuff them down. And if we don't have the time to pick it apart in the moment, then, you know, our only option is to react. Maybe not the only option, but that's one option that it just happens. We're human beings. But when you step away from the situation, you go back and review the situation at night, say when you're by yourself and you have some time to think about it, trace those triggers back. And I, you know, I educate people about the construction of the energy field because this is important. You know, we have like this outer layer of the energy field where our beliefs are housed and born. The energy that we generate impacts our beliefs. Okay. And this comes from childhood, you know, for things in our DNA that we just inherited. These beliefs come from, you know, there are multiple different sources, but understanding that if you're having an emotional reaction and it's connected to your belief, that's really important. It's really important because then you know you can work on that belief. Like, say you believe you're not worthy. And anytime somebody says something to you that feeds that belief and you're triggered and you have an emotional response, if you can trace that trigger back to the belief that you're not worthy, then you can work on that. You can start telling yourself, why you are worthy, creating intentions and affirmations to elevate that belief and to shift it. It's all intentional though. Doesn't typically happen by accident. But also, you know, we have, not only do we have the beliefs, the belief layer of the energy field, then we have the thought layer, you know, where your mental, where your thoughts are generated and housed. Okay. This is the energy. You've heard of the aura. I know you have, but
why don't you share with our friends listening and watching about the aura?
Okay. So you have this measurable energy field around your physical body. Okay. You're way more than just a physical being. So you have this measurable charge that exists around your body and you emanate frequencies from your core. And then frequencies come from outside of you and affect those layers that sit outside your physical body. But these layers, just like everything in the universe, you know, they're organized. There's that belief layer on the outside, and then you have your thoughts and you have your emotional layer and your physical body. But as you get to understand the construction of the energy field a little bit and you start tracing your triggers back to these places in your energy field, that is when you can intentionally make a shift. If you know that, okay, say you do believe you're worthy, that's not a problem for you. But then you listen to what everyone else says and they're telling you, you're not worthy. You know, you're not worthy. Okay. Whatever the specifics are, you're not worthy. Then you look at your thought layer. You look at that place where your thoughts are developed, the energy of your thoughts is housed. And you start asking yourself some questions about that. Okay, well, my belief is that I'm worthy, but what am I thinking? What am I thinking on the daily basis? Oh, I hope I don't screw this up, or, you know, I hope I'm good enough. But you don't really believe that you're not worthy of something good. You just need to adjust your thought process to start thinking some different things to align with your beliefs. But it's really important to have that piece of information, because then you know what to work on.
Wow. And how would you change what you just said into more positive thought processes or beliefs?
Okay. So your belief is that you're worthy. Changing your thoughts to, okay, I believe in myself. I believe that I'm worthy. I know I can do this. I know I'm worthy. That's the thought process. Your beliefs are, okay, I choose to believe that I'm worthy, and here's why. But your thoughts are, I know that I'm worthy. I deserve this. I should have this. I should, you know, I should be on top, whatever, you know, whatever the affirmation is that you want to state to reinforce that belief that you are actually worthy. That's what you would work on if you feel like it's your thought process that needs to be adjusted.
Interesting. And I'm thinking back when I used to manage my husband's OBGYN office, and thinking about like a lot of the women that came in and became moms, and seeing how like the children, the babies reacted. And now I'm just thinking like how much of the parents' thought process affected the way that the baby reacted, you know. And then like, if I think I can't do this, and then baby does something and I can't control it, then it's like that negative, you know, confirmation, like, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not good enough, and all that stuff.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, most kids are pretty intuitive. They come out of the womb like that. A lot of times we don't recognize it. We don't see that. But children kind of have one foot in the world where they came from, you know, for the first couple of years of life. So they're very intuitive. So even though they may not be mind readers, but who knows, maybe they are mind readers. We don't know. Right. They're definitely responding to the energy that you're emanating, that you're generating with your thoughts, especially when they're negative thought patterns.
So it's not, so if someone's like, oh, come here, baby, I love you, da da da, but there's like a deeper level with the thoughts or the beliefs, the baby, the child is reacting to the truth under it, not like what they're seeing, right?
Well, I think they're probably also reacting to the conflict, because if you're saying one thing and you're thinking another thing,
yeah,
it's, you know, and the child's intuitive, they're gonna feel that conflict, that inner conflict within you.
Wow.
And it's not ideal.
Yeah. And when the baby's born, you know, they have that soft spot for a long time. I'm like, oh, maybe that's that open connection to the other, you know, world or something.
Yeah.
Wow. And that is amazing. Wow. So and now when you say child's intuitive, if you said that to me 10 years ago, I don't even know what you mean by that. So can you explain this to Mara 10 years ago, what that actually means?
Okay, so this is kind of a fun story, actually. When I was a little girl, I had an imaginary friend, 3 years old. His name was Benny Stoodle.
What so, is that, Benny what?
Benny Stoodle. I mean, that's kind of an unusual name, right? Like I don't know, where
that
would I have
heard brutal. That? I love it.
Oh, yeah. Where would I have heard that, right? So my mother indulged me. You know, she listened to everything I said, and I told her these stories. I told her how Benny Stoodle had died in a river. He lived with his sister, and that he drowned in the river. And, you know, I told her all of these things. And then one day we were in the car, and, you know, I pointed out the window. I said, that's where Benny lived. And, you know, it was in the middle of our town, and there was no river there, because Benny had a river behind his house where he drowned, right? There was no river there. But my mom, just for, you know, giggles, she did a little research and found out that like 200 years before that, there had been a river flowing through right there. So I'm saying that, you know, children are naturally intuitive. Maybe Benny Stoodle was actually a real being that existed at one time, and his soul was speaking to me. I don't know. I really can't explain it fully, except just to say that I've encountered a lot of this. You know, I interact with a lot of people who are intuitive themselves, and I've encountered a lot of this. Like, it happened with my son when he was little too. You know, he told me in the middle of the night, or he woke up one morning and he said in the middle of the night that someone had visited him. And I was freaked out. You know, I thought, holy moly, like someone got into my house, you know? But he told me all of, he said he was a baseball player and on, like very detailed description. And it turned out there had been a baseball player who lived across the street, you know, many, many years earlier. So anyway, I'm saying there are lots of documented cases to support this theory that, you know, children are intuitive and they feel that energy, even if they can't articulate it, they feel the energy that comes off these other layers of our energy field.
Wow. We're going to take a brief break. We have a few questions coming in and we'll be right back. And I want to hear more about this and I have more questions. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We hope that you're enjoying today's Let's Talk Wellness podcast. And if you have a topic that you would like us to explore, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at info@elfempowers.org. That's info@elfempowers.org. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Wellness. I'm your host, Mara James. And today we have our guest, Amy Moskow. Welcome back, Amy.
Thank you.
So we have so many questions. So the first thing, I know we were having a conversation while we were on break about, you know, some of what we're talking about, some people could consider woo-woo, but what happens let's just call it woo-woo, call it not, but if children are as intuitive as you say they are when they're younger, what do we do with that? What is, you know, do you have any tools that we could, that can really help the parent, help the child, parenting their gifted, intuitive child or children?
Right. Well, I think that probably the most important thing to start with is, you know, indulge them a little bit, ask them questions. I mean, children are people too, right? They want to feel important. They want to feel like they have a voice. So asking questions, if they come to you and tell you they have an imaginary friend, well, ask a question about that imaginary friend. See if they'll share more information with you. It may just be that they're making a story up, but it may not be as well. You know, I mean, it may be that they've actually made, you know, contact with, we'll call it the other side.
Wow. You know what my favorite thing is? And again, I didn't do this with my children, but hindsight's 20/20. I ask little kids, like 3 or 4 year olds, or, you know, younger, if they're able to talk, like, tell us what God, do you remember God? And so many of them say yes. And what God looked like or said to you. And it's, oh my goodness, so profound.
Yes. And you know what? We have so much to learn from children. I know, and you could probably attest to this. I know that I have one child that I birthed and another stepchild, but he was my greatest teacher, you know, and I approached it like that from the beginning. I knew that he was going to be my greatest teacher. I was scared to death to have a child, yeah. But I knew that he was going to be my greatest teacher. And I think, you know, it definitely helped me to be a better mother, to recognize that it wasn't just that he was only going to learn from me, that I was going to learn from him, that it was a bit of a partnership, shall we say, on a higher level. So I would suggest the place to start is asking questions and letting your child know that they're important, their voice is important.
Wow. Tell us a little more, what when you say your son was your teacher, how?
Well, he, of course, taught me to be unselfish. I never knew. My mother, you know, my mother told me, she said, everything changes when you have a child. But she wasn't specific. She didn't say what of everything changes when you have a child. But it was like, of course, again, probably every mother can attest to this. When you carry a child and then you birth a child, and that child comes into the world, it's like you don't even know love like that until you have a child. So I felt like he really helped me open my heart. And he taught me to be giving. So, and I think that was probably the greatest gift that anybody could have given to me, was to teach me that lesson.
Wow. Yeah. I have my gifted and challenging child with Asperger's and ADHD who taught me, how not to judge. And, you know, it's not my way. I have to be considerate. If he doesn't want me to hug him, I get to be considerate of that, and knowing that he just shows me love in different ways. But ooh, those teachers definitely could be challenging, right?
Yes, very challenging.
Yeah, sometimes it could really break a parent's heart also. But wow, yeah. Amazing. Wow. So with your son, you were sharing that when he was younger, he did have an imaginary friend.
Well, he had lots of contact beyond what I call the veil. He didn't have a specific imaginary friend, but he told me multiple stories of people that he would talk to and people that he had no knowledge of, family members of mine and my and his father's. He would tell us stories. Like he sat in the back of the car and he was chattering one day, and he was very like he talked very young. He was just really little, and he was like a chatterbox in the back seat. And I said, "Who are you talking to?" And he said, "I'm talking to Tony." And I said, "Who's Tony?" And then he said, "Tony, you know Tony." I said, "I don't know Tony. Who's Tony?" And he said, "He's I forget. I think he said Tony Nino. His father's name was Nino." So, it turns out he was talking about his father's grandfather, who had died. Like I never met the man. He died many, many years before that. So, and it's like, well, it's kind of an unusual name, at least in this country. So it was like, well, how would he know that? Like he couldn't have just made that up. So, and then he, another day, I pulled up to my house and I had this huge rose garden in the front. And my son said to me, he said, "I see Mary." And I said, "Who's Mary?" You know, again, like, who's he talking about, right? And he said, "I see Mammy. She's in a rocking chair. Do you see her?" And I said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't see her, but I believe that you see her. I believe that she's there." And come to find out, my mother's grandmother was Mary, and she used to sit in her garden in a rocking chair. So it's like, you know, it was obviously, I mean, it could have been a coincidence, but I just, you know, after so many of these incidents happened, I just don't believe. I didn't believe, and I don't believe now that it's a coincidence. I believe children are just intuitive. They're just tapped in naturally.
And it's a gift. But some parents would be scared of that and would poo-poo their child, which would make them like feel confused, right? Because they're like, I see it and you're saying no, right? How can that must have been really confusing when that happens.
Right. And also, I think it probably teaches them to shut down. You know, we're all wired for intuition. It's just that at a very young age, most of us were probably talked out of it. So it's like, okay, that's not acceptable. So I'm going to close that door. But I think, you know, in understanding that children are naturally intuitive, and then working with them, walking them through a journey of keeping their intuition, would only benefit them.
Well, yeah. And yeah. Oh my goodness. Right. Like what we think quote unquote is crazy is actually a gift.
Right.
Unbelievable. And so you were sharing during our break that you have a tool that you can share with our friends, how to help them parenting their in gifted intuitive child.
Yes. So going back to that idea of language and using high vibrating language, I co-authored this book. It's called Daily Agreements, Guidelines, and Intentions with my business partner, Donald Ferguson. And in this book, it's not like a book that you read cover to cover. You could if you want, but the idea of this book is to give language, high vibrating language, in the form of agreements. So if I can just let me just read like two or three lines from the first agreement, which is unveiling my true self. I agree to always remember that my true self is drawn out by giving and receiving love. I agree to allow others to see the brightest part of my light. Okay, so this book is filled with language like
Wait,
that
you
you
held it up. Wait, tell us, hold it, the show, the title, because it's, yeah, Daily Agreements, Guidance, and Intentions. Beautiful. We'll put that, the title and the link in the show information too.
Okay. Yeah. So the book will walk you through the process of actually creating your own agreement using your own language, but it gives you ideas. It gives you a foundation of high vibrating language to use when you're creating these intentions or you're creating these agreements, for how you operate in life. So, and there's a lot of language in here that, I mean, I think it would be really beautiful to use these agreements with your children. You know, to teach them this language and read the agreements to them, and adjust the language so it's age appropriate. But it gives you a foundation to start with for using high vibrating language in your life.
And with the language, for that book, what language is, what years is that more for an adult? And we convert it to children's language or
You know, it was written for adults. But I do believe, I don't like, say, for example, I'll read that line again. I agree to always remember that my true self is drawn out by giving love and receiving love. I think that's appropriate for any age. You
when
know,
you
maybe
say my true self, to me, that's confusing. So I wouldn't even know how to explain that to my child. So how would you explain what that means, my true self?
Your true self, who you are on the inside. Okay. You're inside. That I think is the best way to describe what your true self is, the person, you know, the private person on the inside. And then giving and receiving love. Well, that can just be demonstrated with a hug, you know, okay. Both sides. You give a hug, I give a hug.
I love that. And of course, yes, it was National Hugging Day, by the way.
Oh, it was. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Wow, that is amazing. What other suggestions do you have for parents? So what do you have? Like, I've worked with a lot of women, including myself, who, like, you know, the spouses, they're wonderful, they're loving, but they're just very, like, they have a very strong ego. Like, I'm perfect, I'm great, I don't need to do anything. And what you're talking about, you know, they kind of poo-poo our woo-woo. What do you recommend to someone that's dealing with somebody that might not be on the same page with them with, like, parenting and all that stuff?
I love this question, by the way. And I have something that I've been using for years, and it has to do with recognizing that there's always a conversation underneath the conversation. Whatever conversation you're having with someone, when you acknowledge and recognize that you have an aura that emits vibrations just from your thoughts, use your thoughts to have that conversation. So when you're dealing with someone who is in that space of ego and isn't necessarily really open to listening to, you know, using high vibrating language or something like that, having a conversation with that person in your mind and conveying this high vibrating language to them intentionally over and over and over, you ultimately get through. And I've tried this in situations where, you know, like just prior to a very intense exchange that I knew it was, you know, possibly confrontational, I've tried it and it actually works like a charm. When you intentionally convey those thoughts, those high vibrating thoughts, and use that language and have an intentional conversation underneath the conversation, the other person feels it, even if they don't know what they're feeling.
So give us an example. What would we, and are we thinking it, or we're not speaking out loud, we're thinking our head towards
we're thinking the person? It. Just one way to do it is imagine a little room in your mind. In your mind's eye, you have a special little room where you go to have the conversation underneath the conversation.
Yeah.
And you just picture both yourself and the other person there. And you have that the whole time. Like, for example, one time I was having a very intense conversation with somebody else. I pictured us both in the room. And I kept saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm grateful for you. I love you, I love you, I love you. Even though, like, you know, it was a kind of a tense conversation. It really helped dispel that negative energy. It helped calm my emotions as I was having this conversation, the actual conversation. It really helped me. So, you know, just some simple hack like that, it really does change the energy of an exchange.
Amazing. I know whenever saying that I love you, you know, it is very powerful. What's another word, would you say, a couple of synonym for high vibration, like high vibrating?
High vibrating, love, closer to love, closer to truth. Okay. Because that is our truth. We are beings that identify with love. Yes. It would feel so good if we weren't.
Right. And there are some people that we don't feel the love, right? Like a lot of times when you have a narcissistic friend or family member, you're not feeling the love. I feel like that the narcissist doesn't love themselves, and there's like a hole in their bucket, and as much water as you put in, it keeps seeping out. So it's hard for that. They don't love themselves, so we don't feel the love for them.
Right. Because everything's a reflection, you know, when, you know, there's always something to look at. Just, you know, for our own purposes, we should know that when someone doesn't treat us nicely, not that it's our fault, but it's always good to look at that and say, okay, well, what could I reflect differently? You know, and again, not to say that it's your fault when someone mistreats you, but there's always something to look at there.
Right. Wow. That's beautiful. So now let's get back to the intentional healing systems. Do you work with clients one-on-one? Do you work in groups, in person, virtual?
Yes. All of that. Yeah, I do. Well, actually, later today, I'm teaching an advanced intention writing class, which is very intense. We go through like the layers of self and how to write an intention that actually says what you want it to say, and while still supporting your soul, your being. I teach classes. I do one-on-one sessions. I do one-on-one, you know, with the intent to heal, to create a healing event. I teach practitioners on some of the systems that I have. So they go out and they share with their clients. And I work virtually. Don't, you know, ever since COVID, I haven't really worked in person. It just doesn't seem, you know, the world has changed so much. It's like, we don't do that anymore.
And you're probably more productive.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to waste time driving somewhere and you could have more, you know,
right.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Great. And so what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
They can reach me through my website, which is right there on the screen, www.ihsunity.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. Great. And we'll put that in the show information. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners that we didn't discuss today?
Okay. So there's one more thing that I'd like to share. Yes. I feel like right now, what I've been noticing as I'm speaking to clients and I'm teaching classes and the comments that are coming back is that we seem to be in like a blame cycle right now, where we're all looking outside of ourselves and trying to figure out who we can blame for whatever's wrong with us, right? But I think this is kind of like a collective lesson that's coming up right now. And one way to really, if you find yourself in that position that you're looking outside, trying to find somebody to blame for your issues, just remember that there's a lesson in everything. So it's a really good time to be thinking about what you learned from any situation, even if it was uncomfortable or bad, really thinking about what you learned and having gratitude for that. So,
wow. Wow. I love that. Definitely there are times I have a friend who's realized, my friend is in her 50s and her mother's 90s, and she just realized her mother was a narcissist and she just hates her and blame. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, you can't use the word forgiveness. I'm like, what about release? And it's so like, I feel like she's stuck. Any recommendations when somebody is stuck in that situation?
Yeah, I do actually. And I wrote a book about it. This is the other book, one of my other books that I co-authored.
Attitude and Forgiveness times Love, or Love Equals Happiness. Okay. Yes. Wow.
So when you're in that spot and you can't bring yourself to forgiveness, because again, it has to be authentic for it to work, for the energy to work, it's got to be real. Back it up and try to find something that you learned from that situation, even if it was uncomfortable. And it was not something you want to do again, you can typically identify some growth that happened as a result. And once you're able to express gratitude for that growth, then the forgiveness comes a little bit easier. That release comes a little bit easier. That forgiveness unties that knot of anger.
You ever worked with a client who's one of their parents is such a narcissist? And I think it's harder when it's the mother who's supposed to be nurturing as a narcissist. Have you ever worked with that scenario?
Yes. Many, many times, in fact.
Yeah. And positive outcomes over the long run?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Beautiful. I mean, it just breaks my heart. And I, you know, you can lead the horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. And I just want to be like, here, drink it, you know? Okay.
Right.
I just have to just pray that it will all be resolved, right? When it's supposed to. Beautiful. Amy, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you today. And I want you to know, and all of our friends out there, that you are amazing.
Thank you. And thank you. It has been so wonderful. I'm so excited to do this interview with you. So thank you so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. And I look forward to our next one.
Me too.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Let's Talk Wellness. This podcast has been brought to you by the Extraordinary Lives Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. If you would like to listen to more conversations like this, we invite you to subscribe to our mailing list at www.elfempowers.org to be notified when our episodes are published. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to bringing you our next conversation on Let's Talk Wellness.